as Vicky said, my name is Melissa Thorson. I'm a high school English teacher by trade, although I don't teach full-time anymore. I teach online, very, very part-time. And I'm also recently a certified Enneagram coach. If you're not familiar with the Enneagram, maybe you will be. Come back in the spring. I think I'm going to come back and we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the Enneagram. But in the meantime, if it's something you're super interested in, you can check out PeachTreeEnneagram.com and we can connect that way. PeachTreeEnneagram.com. Okay, so here is my family. There's Steve. We've been married for almost 13 years. Miller is 5. He's in kindergarten at Simpson. Crosby is 8. He's in second grade at Simpson. And then Phoebe, the little Spitfire, is 2.5. And that's our family. That was a Christmas card photo, which, you know, we're in that time of year where people are starting to scramble and panic to get the perfect photo. And that's all great. But this is also me. And this is, yes, please feel free to laugh. This is the me I want you to know, because we're talking about friendship and community today. And if we're going to be friends, which I hope we are, I need you to see this side of me. This was a picture one of my kids took. I mean, look at my posture. Look at, like, my bra, I think, is showing. I have horrible-looking hair. I was just trying to drink a cup of coffee in peace and probably pacify one of my children with my phone, and they start taking pictures, and you end up with gems like this. But one of the things we're going to talk about today as we talk about friendship is vulnerability. And I feel like if you want to truly connect on a deep level with a friend, you have to be real, like the good, the bad, the ugly. So I actually had my husband, I was like, hey, can you help me just go through our Google photos and find like a really not flattering, ugly picture? He loved that job, maybe a little bit too much. So he found this for me. okay. Also, I will say that in preparing for today, I really was thinking and praying, trying to figure out what would be honoring of your time. Because I know that you're here and you get a break from your kids and you get time for fellowship. But I also know that friendship and community is a topic that most of you, if not all of you, would probably feel very equipped to stand up and talk about. It's something that seems like it's pretty common knowledge. But I also feel like in this phase of life, it's not always easy for everybody. These are some actual quotes as I was reflecting on friendships in my life that I have heard some of my friends say in recent years, like verbatim. I always seem left off the invite list. People never remember meeting me, or they never remember my name. I have a friend that always says that. I seem to attract drama. People like my husband more than they like me. My husband and I never like the same friends. How many of you relate to that one? I always seem to pick the wrong friends. I had a friend say that to me recently on a walk. She's like, I just always seem to want to be friends with people that don't seem to like me back the same way that I like them. So I don't know if you can relate to any of those, but hopefully some of the things we're going to talk about today will touch on this. And I think my goal in the progression of today is multifold. One goal is I actually want you to feel like you're going to connect with a friend today. So we are going to have a lot of time to talk among the tables. Number two, I do want to kind of probe at our hearts a little bit and have us look inward, because we're not going to have great friendships if we are not in a great place as individuals. So I hope your heart is stirred a little bit in that way. And then the third one, which maybe the least important or maybe the most important, I don't know. I want you to walk away with some just practical tools today. Just something very practical that could potentially be beneficial. Because I know your time is valuable and I want to honor that. So this is kind of the order if you're a sneak preview person and you like to know where we're headed. We're going to talk about being a friend, which starts with being healthy individuals. Making a friend, that first practical step, keeping a friend, and then entering into that sweet spot of what I call transformational friendship. And I will say, Enneagram coach or teaching aside, I am like not, a skilled person, or I'm not a hobbyist, I would say. I always get very envious when I meet people who are like, oh, I'm such a fitness expert, or I'm like such a great cook, or I'm a DIYer, all the chalk paint people that have all the cute antiqued furniture. I'm just not good at anything like that. I'm a terrible athlete. I'm not very funny. Like, I just don't have a lot going for me in terms of that. But I do feel like one thing that God has wired into me is a love of friendship. And I used to think that sounded way too sunshine and rainbows and lame and silly. But as I've gotten older, I've learned with some of my friends, that's not necessarily intuitive for everybody to know how to make a friend. I was talking with Kathy, where'd she go? There she is. I just met her today, right before this started. And I thought she said something really wise. She said, you know, this phase of our lives may be one of the easiest times to make friends. So don't let that discourage you. But meaning, we are in the play date time. Like, we have kids that can kind of be our matchmakers for us to an extent. And if nothing else, if you're in an awkward encounter with somebody, you always have the kids to be a distraction, or, oh, I've got to leave, I got to change my kid's diaper. They're great scapegoats. But college might have been easier because you're living with people, kind of you're forced to, so it's easier to make friends. But it doesn't come as intuitively to everybody, I'm learning. So all that to say, I'm no friendship expert. I'm no, like, Miss Congeniality. But I do feel like I have a passion for friendship and for relationships, which is the goal to talk about today. So the first part, being a friend. In true mother or teacher fashion, I actually brought along one of my favorite children's books. Has anybody read this? It's called When God Made You. Good. Nobody has. So I have some slides that show the images. It's a pretty short book. I want to read it with you, to you, because I want your mind in the space. Hi, sweet girl. You can come up here. You want to come up here? Come on. You want to, she probably wants to see the book. I'm fine with it. So please feel free to let her do her thing. I want you to be in the frame of mind of celebrating who God wired you to be before we talk about friendship, because the best friend you can be is being authentically you. That's what's going to help you attract like-minded friends and friends that like you back as much as you like them. Actually, I think I can. Actually, can someone hold this for me while I read? Thank you. Okay, thank you. Perfect. All right. This is going to be like synchronized reading to the slides, which, let's say a prayer that this goes okay. Okay. When God made you. You, when God made you, God made you all shiny and new. An incredible you, a you all your own, a you unlike anyone else ever known. An exclusive design, one God refined, you're a perfectly crafted one of a kind. Because when God made you, somehow God knew that the world needed someone exactly like you. You, God thinks about you. God was thinking of you long before your debut. From the very beginning amid history and time, you, little one, never left God's mind. God imagined your eyes, your head shape and size, and knew what you'd look like when you felt surprised. God pictured your nose and all 10 of your toes, the sound of your voice. God had it composed. The lines on your hands, your hair, every strand. God knew every detail, like it was all planned. Out of billions of faces from cultures, all races, people God made from all different places. God knew your name. Your picture is framed. God's family without you would not be the same. Because when God made you, this much is true. The world got to meet who God already knew. You, when God sees you, God delights in what is and sees only what's true. That you, yes you, in all of your glory, bring color and rhythm and rhyme to God's story. So be you, be fully you, a show-stopping review. Live your life in full color, every tint, every hue. Discover, explore, have faith, but love more and learn and relearn all that God made you for. Use your talents and passions, those gifts that God fashioned. Think up ideas and then put them into action. Because God loves you. Hold on, part two. Not next week. How about today? Because God loves you creating, your true self displaying, when light on the inside through art is portraying. When you make believe, the stories conceived, the heroics, the magic, those tricks up your sleeve. When you dance alone, spinning like a cyclone, being whoever, whatever, in a world all your own. God smiles, and here's why. In the spark of your eye, a familiar reflection shines bright from inside. Because when God made you and the world oohed and awed, in heaven, they called you an image of God. You, when God dreams about you, God dreams about all that in you will be true. That you, God's you, will be hopeful and kind, a giver who lives with all heart, soul, and mind. A dreamer who dreams in big and small themes, one who keeps dreaming in journeys upstream. A mover, a shaker, a lover of nature. A builder of bridges. And you, the peacemaker. A you who views others as sisters and brothers and lives by three words, love one another. A confident you, strong and brave too. You being you is God's dream coming true. Because when God made you, all of heaven was beaming. Over you, God was smiling and already dreaming. So the point being, sweet, whimsical story for our kids. But every time I read that, I need to like tell myself that. I get chills reading that because so many times when I look over my life, I've been everybody else's version of who I thought they wanted me to be. I'm like the classic chameleon. And it took years to realize you've got to be authentically you, and that's who God created you to be, and that's what leads you to like-minded, fulfilling friendships. Okay, so I want you to take a moment, and I know sometimes we see the word table talk pop up, and we're like, I just want to sit here and not have to engage. But if our point is to grow and to learn how to be a friend and to make friends, we have to connect authentically. So the first thing I want you guys to talk about, and be honest, we're going to start small and try to dig a little deeper as we go, but what do you see as your spiritual giftings in relating to other people? And again, that doesn't have to be a official spiritual gift name. It can be something as simple as like you are a great orchestrator of a calendar. So when somebody needs to plan something and get it on the calendar, you're the calendar girl. And what areas do you struggle with? Do you love small talk, but then you don't want to go deeper than that? Or do you hate small talk and wish you could just fast forward through that and have the heart-to-heart, teary fireside chat? So discuss these for a minute. And then I just put a quote on the bottom of several of these slides that I love. I think it was Jeff Henderson at Buckhead Church that said this a couple years back, but he always raised the question that you should constantly be thinking, whether you're interacting with a friend, your children, or your spouse, what's it like to be on the other side of me? Oftentimes we forget to think about it from that lens. So talk, I'll set my watch for a timer and then we'll come back together and keep on going. All right, if we'll come back up here for a second, but hold those thoughts. If there's still something you want to ask a table mate or follow up on, we're going to have plenty of other table talk time. So there's no rules. You can skip back to a previous question. All right, so look at this list here. Scan it quickly. What do you recognize this list as being? Fruits of the Spirit, yes. Okay, so scan this list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And think of a friend in your life who you feel like exhibits many of these traits really well. Most likely that friend is somebody that's refreshing to your soul, somebody that you're drawn to, somebody that makes you better, somebody that challenges you, loves you. Now, turn the microscope back on yourself and in a harder way, ask yourself, in what ways am I perhaps not allowing the Spirit to bear this kind of fruit in me? Or am I squelching the Spirit? So peace, like how many times are you quick to put your anxiety on another friend that may have enough anxiety of their own rather than trying to be like a calm, steadfast, peaceful friend? That's not to say that you shouldn't share your burdens, but sometimes you have to read the other person and know like, ooh, maybe I need to just find somebody else to walk through this with because I need to be the rock for this friend at this time. Patience. How many times have you lost patience towards a friend for canceling on you again or being too self-focused or not reading your mind and checking in on you when you don't feel like they're initiating enough with you? How many times have you perhaps not exhibited gentleness in a way that required you to tell the gentle truth in love? How many times have you harbored a seed of bitterness and you feel like you need to have a hard conversation with a friend in gentle love, but instead you let fear get the best of you and just stew on the anxiety and the resentment and let that build up and create an invisible wedge in your friendship? I think it's helpful when you start to feel unrest about the relationships in your life to go back to this list of fruits of the Spirit and ask God to grow these in you and ask God to reveal to you which of these fruits you may be squelching out of your own stubbornness or inability to look inward. So the making a friend phase, okay, if we're working on ourselves to be healthy individuals to then draw in healthy friendships, just something practical that, again, for some people is totally intuitive and you do this naturally just because it's how God wired you. For other people, this may be a skill that is not wired in you that you have to train yourself to know how to do, and that is to ask people questions about themselves. And again, for those of you that this is internal in you, you're like, oh my gosh, am I really sitting here listening to someone tell me how to ask a question to a person? But believe it or not, there are people that just don't know that skill. So if you're trying to make more friends in your lives, it's so important to not be quick to speak, but to be quick to listen and to ask someone a question, but don't just gloss over and think, check, I asked him a question. You have to remember what they say. And if you really want to grow that friendship, follow up with them. Have you ever gotten a text from somebody that you may not have known that well that's like, hey, I noticed that you seemed sad last week. Or, hey, I remember you saying you're really into this. This article made me think of you. And you feel so known and like loved that someone was thinking about you in the middle of the day. That's just a simple practical tip. Ask somebody a question, remember what they say, and follow up with them. Also learn to be an initiator. Again, this is something that is hardwired into some people. They love to take the reins and to be the initiator, but other people may not like to do that. They kind of sit. I mean, I'm totally fine. I don't want her to electrocute herself, but I'm fine watching her up here. It's great by me. Some people just want to sit back and wait for the play date to fall in their lap or wait for the coffee invitation to fall in their lap. But if you find that you're not getting a lot of those invitations and you're getting upset about that, it may be time that you have to take the reins and initiate. I remember when we first moved here or to Peachtree Corners, right around the corner, and I had left like kind of my core group of friends where we were living, and I was kind of starting over again in terms of like neighborhood friends and parents of my kids' friends. And I remember thinking, all right, well, I can't just sit here and expect people to just want to hang out with the new girl, because we're often not quick to remember the new girl, which is another lesson to remember. But I'm like, all right, well, then I'll plan something. So it was a simple thing, but it turned out to be a really fun time of connection. It was Cinco de Mayo. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do like a Cinco de Mayo play date at my house. And we're going to have chips and salsa and cheese dip. And I don't care who trashes my house. Like, the kids can run around. The moms can sit. We may have had margaritas. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that at church. But it helped draw people in. And it was simple. It was easy. And some of those friendships that were sparked during that simple time kind of blossomed and continued to grow. The other thing is, if you think of somebody during your day, a friend, maybe it's going to be somebody at your table today that you are meeting for the first time or that you've seen around here a couple times and you're ready to take it to the next level, but it's awkward to know how to transition from a table friend at Moms Connect to like a let's get together out of Moms Connect kind of friend. Act on it. Like, have the thought, but then actually put some feet to it. Send the text, send an email. Make it a group thing if you feel weird hanging out with the one person, even if your ulterior motive is ultimately to get to know that one person better. That's okay. Okay, so back to another table talk. Again, this is asking you to look inward, but to be vulnerable too, because keep in mind, there's all different levels of relational health and or relational styles represented at your table. Some of you could make a friend with that chair over there. Others of you, it can take you a long time to warm up to somebody new, and that's okay. That's why God made us all differently. Remember, you wonderful you. So is it easy for you to make friends? Just go ahead and say that and just call a spade and be real. If it's not easy for you, tell these people, and then they'll be like, hey, I remember Sally at my table says it's not easy for her to make friends. I need to include her in more than I'm doing in my social time. And what is something practical you could plan soon, maybe within the next 4 or 5 months, to widen your circle? I was kind of eavesdropping into some of the conversations from up here, and I heard somebody say, like, my temptation is that I've got my kind of core, I've got my people, and I'm not quick to want to widen the circle. And I've totally fallen into that trap many times too. But that means we're often forgetting the new girl to the neighborhood or the new girl to church. So what is something practical that you could plan or do? And it could be as simple as a coffee date. It doesn't have to be a big themed party to widen your circle and to make a new friend. So talk about that just for a couple of minutes. All right, let's come back up here for a second, and then we will continue talking again in just a little bit. I might actually merge our last two table talks into one so that you can just talk longer, because that's the fun part, right? Okay, so we've made a friend. We've had a girl crush that we want to be friends with. We make our friend, but how do we keep the friend? Because we've all had that where, like, after the initial, like, oh my gosh, we have chemistry, we have friend chemistry, sometimes then it fizzles, and then it's like, oh no, did I like her more than she thought, or that she likes me back? The same rules still apply of how to maintain a healthy friendship. Ask about that person. Listen to what they say and follow up. I mean, it seems, again, elementary, but that is just such a powerful way to establish intimacy in a friendship. If you're the one that's constantly holding the mic, metaphorically speaking, in your friendship, and not really ever passing it to somebody else to follow up with them, that's going to get stale pretty quickly. And again, the thinking on it. We probably think of our friends or random people that pop into our head 100 times a day, but we probably act on that a much smaller percentage. It doesn't take that long to pick up your phone and send a text to somebody. Just, hey, I'm thinking about you. Or, hey, I remember you said Johnny was sick last week. Is he doing better? Be self-aware if you're hitting a dead end. This one's probably the hardest, most icky one. If you feel like you are constantly pursuing a friend or a group of friends that you're trying to break into and it isn't being reciprocated, that's probably the time to reroute the car and chase a different path or group. Sometimes chemistry just doesn't happen, just like with our mates. Sometimes it just doesn't happen with girlfriends either. And one of those quotes that I showed at the beginning, a friend of mine kept saying, I just keep choosing the wrong friends. And I think she was right. I think for some reason or another, she was choosing a certain type of girl to be friends with that wasn't really the best fit for her. And it was taking her dead end after dead end after dead end of realizing, all right, I might be looking in the wrong pool for the fish that I'm trying to swim with. And even though that's a hard truth to face, you have to be self-aware enough to look at those patterns in your life. Another just practical tip is creating consistency for community. So here's one of those practical takeaways that I wanted to share with you that I had never been a part of until a few years ago, but I now want to share it with everybody because it's been so helpful in building community. How many of you are familiar with, like, babysitting co-ops? only a few hands-ish. Yep. Pop. Okay, so if you're not familiar with it, basically this is a babysitting group that you can create with a group of families, really, but the women are normally the ones that plan it and run it. And it's a babysitting exchange based on a points system rather than payment. In other words, you earn points by keeping your friends' kids that are established in your little point bank, and then you can spend your points, and somebody else will watch your kids. Now, this is great in this phase of life, especially if you have multiple children, or really even just one, and you need like a 2-hour sit in the middle of the day. If you don't have family here that helps you out a lot, it's really hard sometimes to find a paid babysitter to come for like an hour or for 2 hours if you have a conference for one of your older children or a doctor's appointment or a haircut. It's hard to find somebody that's willing to break up their day to come to your house from 10 to 12. So this has been a lifesaver, not only practically speaking, but also in getting to know other families and getting to know other children and getting to watch your child interact with other children when that child's parents aren't around, and establishing trust for your child to be with other families. Now, the way that our particular co-op does it, and I know there's lots of different ways to do it, our co-op is made up of families that are all believers, and it started probably, 10 years ago, so well before I lived in the area, and it's kind of like as a mama ages out with her kids getting older and her not needing the co-op as much, then a new family is referred in. And it sounds all like underground and shady and weird, but we do it that way so that you don't want to broadcast it to everybody. Hey, I'm in this babysitting co-op with these families, because then what's the first question they're going to ask? Well, how do I get in? Well, there's not always a space, or maybe that particular family isn't the right fit or whatnot. So it has to kind of be a referral basis. But I say that because you could start your own. If you're not part of one, or if you're thinking, oh my goodness, I know just the right fit of people to do this. We have, I think, 15 families currently in ours. You could do it a smaller number or a bigger number. But it's a great way to establish community that's consistent, to establish friendship, and to help yourself have a break when you need a break. So if you're interested at all in like chatting more about how that works, because there's all sorts of nuances that come with that, I'm happy to share with you anything that I know about it to help you out to set up your own. Okay, so now moving into the transformational friendship. This is like the sweet spot of friendship. This is like the soul sister kind of friendship. These are the people that show up during the really hard times, like, or the really, really big celebration times, like the people that are your core, that are like your family. If you're not in a discipleship group, which I'm sure many of you are, but if you're not, that's a great way to build true community, as many of you know, because you're not only walking through your spiritual lives together, you're walking through the practical day-to-day too, when you're meeting and brushing shoulders on a week-to-week basis. A couples community group. Now, this, when Steve and I first got married, we were in a couples group, and the format of it I found to be awesome. The people that led it, I just feel like were really great visionaries about how they wanted the community to be built among the couples. So a quick fast-forwarded version of how it worked. I think there were 6 couples when it began, and at the onset of the start of the group, your homework was you had to take out each couple in the group one-on-one for like a foursome dinner. That was awesome because, A, even though it sounds like, oh my gosh, that's so expensive, and it was, but you could go to Taco Bell. Nobody said you had to go to Stony River. But you were also getting taken out on 6 dates too, if you think about it that way. And if childcare is an issue, you could have them over for coffee or a meal at your house or whatever. But that takes some of the awkwardness out of having to like ask the other couple out on a date, because it's homework. Everybody's having to do it. And that's a great way to find out which couples you connect with maybe better than others. Secondly, the way that the group format worked, we did 3 weeks on and 1 week off. So there was a break, because we all know that it gets a little monotonous of having a weekly commitment that involves childcare. And every third week, we would split genders. So the men would get together and do something just as men, the women just as women, which totally helped expedite the process of getting to know people. Because as you know, when you're with girls, you just share differently and often more than you would share when other men are in the mix. Now, the guys struggled with that a little more. They never quite like dug as deep in the same way as the women did, but it created couple community. So that's, again, just another practical thing that you could implement with your friends or your neighbors. Showing up in the hard times, I already touched on that. Like, you know, or maybe you don't know, or maybe some of you do and some of you don't, but all people really want most of the time in the midst of a hardship is just feeling like somebody's remembering them and somebody's sitting in it with them. Like, you've maybe seen the graphic before. I wish I had put it in here, of the difference in, I think it's sympathy and compassion, or sympathy and empathy even. Sympathy is like if your friend falls in a hole and you walk by and you see your friend, you're like, hey, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you fell in the hole. Let me go get you a ladder. I'll be right back. Hey, here's a ladder. Empathy or true compassion is climbing down in the mud and sitting down in that hole with your friend. And maybe it is bringing them a casserole, or maybe it is, you know, cleaning their house for them if they're at home with the baby blues that are turning dark really quickly. But more often than not, they're not looking for you to share some perfect Bible verse with them or some eloquent sermon on how to overcome postpartum depression. They want you just to sit and be like, hey, you look like you've been crying before I got here. Are you okay? Normally, that's all it takes, is for somebody to open the door, sit down, and be present. And a lighter note, Marco Polo, I'm sure many of you have that app or use it, or maybe, again, maybe you don't. If you don't, this is so silly, I feel like, that I'm even mentioning it, but a friend of mine the other day said something profound about it, and maybe I'm totally just justifying my own addiction to social media apps. However, she said, she was like, you know what I love about Marco Polo is, she said, it's become almost like my own journal that I can go back through and look at. If you don't have, how many of you have Marco Polo or use it? A couple. Okay, great. So not many. Marco Polo basically is a short app where you can send a little video snippet to a friend when you don't have time to text. And let's be honest, I see it. Like, people are nursing, people are holding babies, people, you're doing all the things, all the carpools. It's hard sometimes to send a long text update. It's a lot easier to pick up the phone while you're nursing or washing dishes and send out a quick update to a friend. And then it kind of stores them too. So my friend was saying how she has always resented in herself that she's not a disciplined journaler, like sit down and write in her journal. And so sometimes she feels like she misses being able to reflect back on her growth spiritually. But she's like, but then I had this epiphany. She's like, I went back and watched all the Marco Polos that we had sent back and forth. And she's like, I was able to see how God has answered some of my prayers, because she would send me a message, Melissa, oh my gosh, I am going into this meeting with my boss and I just don't know how it's going to go. Will you please pray for me that I'm able to be bold? Or Melissa, oh my gosh, my kids are driving me crazy. Or I'm like Marco Poloing her and my kids are literally climbing on top of me and throwing coffee grounds around. And I'm able to see, like, okay, that was a bad day, but not all the days are like that. I do love my children. It's a great practical way to connect on an intimate level with friends and be able to look back at how God has provided for you throughout the day-to-day mundane parts of your schedule and your life. All right, so table talk. Let me actually, we'll just end with this one, and then I'll fast forward. Just, this is the final action step, but we're going to end with a table talk. If today at all somebody popped in your head, either somebody that you're like, I want to get to know this person better, I want to be her friend, or somebody that you are already friends with, but that may not know how much she means to you, I really want you, as your homework, to go home today and reach out to that person. So it's either a, hey, I just wanted to text you and tell you I'm so thankful that you're in my life. Who doesn't want to hear that today? Like, everybody wants to hear that. Or somebody you don't know well yet getting a text that's like, hey, I know this is so random, but like every time I see you, I just think about how I want to get to know you better. What does next week look like for you for a walk? That's your action step for today. In addition to really thinking back to that list of fruits of the Spirit and saying, God, will you reveal to me some blind spots of where I might not be exhibiting a lot of fruit in my life in regards to my friends? And will you equip me? Will you help me have more patience? Will you help me have more self-control to not be a gossip? Will you help me be more loving, more gentle, more faithful in honoring my commitments to my friends? So we'll close with this table talk. And if, I mean, it's 11, so I know that's early, but if you have any questions or anything you want to talk about, I'm going to hang around too and kind of float around and spy on some of your conversations. Answer this with your friends at your table. Do you currently have any non-family friendships? Because I know some of you with sisters, which I'm jealous of. I never had a sister, but a lot of times that is like a built-in best friend, which is amazing. But not counting family, friends, not moms or sisters, do you have a current friendship that allows you to be fully authentic and like fully you, the good, the bad, the ugly? And then the other question is, who in your life right now is actually making you better? Are you only surrounding yourself with friends where you're the one that's pulling everybody up? Because guess what? You're going to burn out. If you don't have somebody in your life that's making you better, if you're constantly the missionary friend, that's going to dry you out quickly. And who in your life are you hopefully making better? Are you? Is there somebody in your life that you're being missional with or that you are being the friend that they need? And it's not about getting your cup filled. Because to me, you have to have a balance of both. You need friends filling your cup, but you also need to be pouring into other people. So talk about that for a little bit. I'll kind of circulate. If you have any questions at any point too, we can chat more. Thank you guys so much for your time today. Talk with your friends.